At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got another great show for you. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff, as always. We've got a little You Just Made the List at high noon, like we do every Friday. And we'll end the final hour with some Friday trivia. Have a little fun. Kick back. We don't have the guitar today. The birthday boy is still in afternoons today, of course. Yesterday was his birthday, but I guess he's probably still celebrating. So Chase will be with Floyd Reese today, coming up at 2 o'clock. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging over in East Nashville, where we think yesterday on the show, we believe we heard one Aaron Donick in the background. Pretty sure. Marquise, I did get a you were my second source, or you were my source, because I needed an extra set of ears to make sure that I heard Aaron Donick in the background, and you did confirm my suspicions that Aaron Donick did make an appearance on the show yesterday. And speaking of Marquise Munson, he is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, which is powered by RumbleOn.com. Jim Wyatt in the on-deck circle in about 15 minutes. We'll talk all things Titans with him. That's coming up at 10:15. Willie, what's up?
Not much. I would say that there is a chance that you could hear Aaron Donick again today. The studio in the home, the makeshift studio, is very close to the front door. So when somebody arrives back at the house, there could be noise coming in. And it could be Aaron Donick. It could be any Donick. It could be a visitor. You never know.
So you're confirming my suspicions.
I'm confirming I believe what happened, they came home from the game. There's a tournament going on at Shelby Park this weekend involving Mahoney's team. They won yesterday. They came back. And so that was the ruckus, I believe. Ah. And that same thing could happen. They're in action right now. In fact, I just came back from the field. I watched the first couple innings and then came back over. So it's nice to have some games right around the corner from your house rather than drive a couple hours.
Right, rather than have to go to other states.
Yes.
Indiana and Georgia and I don't know where else you've been. See, and by the way, are they playing every weekend? Are they doing tournaments every weekend? This has been a pretty heavy schedule.
Close. It has been a heavy schedule for sure. It's going to be heavy this weekend too if it doesn't rain.
Interesting. We're going to take we had practice last night, and I have told the team, take the week off. A lot of us are going out of town. A lot of people, so like almost half our team was going to be gone all next week. And I was like, we're going to shut it down, and we'll come back, and we'll get ready to get after it when we get back. So, good for it. So, how did the Knights look the first couple innings you saw?
They're not bad. They're playing a good team out of Murfreesboro. Called the Black Sox. It's a good organization that has got a lot of teams up and down. So it's a tight game. I left. It was 2-1 Knights going into the bottom of the third.
All right. Well, you were at Mahoney's game. I was actually spending a little time with Robbie Stanley and his father this morning. So I got a chance to see the Stanleys at the house. So we're getting caught up on that. Of course, Robbie covers the Predators for NHL.com and was hosting our morning show before everything hit with Joe Rexroad. speaking of things on the hockey side, you know, we've been talking about these hub cities, and you can cross another one off the list. And luckily for us, well, Chase, it doesn't matter. His two teams that he, or two cities that he predicted, have already been crossed off the list. But none of us picked Vancouver, and Vancouver has been eliminated. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
Looks like it's
I
all
guess
signs
the
are
vibes. Pro- the vibes yesterday from Elliot Friedman were pointing that way. So something happened at Vancouver. Wow.
Isn't it
in
amazing?
A short period of time, because they looked like they were going to get it.
Right. It looked like they were going to be the top dog, or they were going to be the Canadian city. And clearly something happened, and they are now crossed off the list. So, hey, I've got Vegas and Edmonton. We'll see. I think it's probably going to be Toronto, but I guess as they say, so you're saying I've got a chance. Yeah, I think you got a chance.
You got a chance to go 2-for-2.
I've got a chance for sure. So we'll get a little bit closer to all that. I saw where Malcolm Jenkins, talking about this upcoming NFL season, said that he would like to make sure that he is guaranteed no risk before he plays. So I got news for Malcolm Jenkins. This is a pretty easy one. If you are looking for guaranteed no risk to play this season, my friend, you need to inform the Saints that you're not playing this year, because you're not going to be playing in the NFL. There's no such thing in 2020, at least at this point, that you can go into anything with guaranteed no risk. So if that is truly your standard, then you, my friend, will be sitting out of the NFL season this year. Good luck to you. And that's fine. That's completely fine. I mean, everybody to each his own. But if he's looking for the league to give him security that he's, you know, going into this season with zero risk, I got news for him. This will be quick. There's no way anybody's going to guarantee you no risk.
Yeah. I mean, there's in football, there's risk in a lot of different ways,
right.
But with that particular case, we know it's impossible. I think you're just looking to minimize it, and I still think we're learning every day, right, of what the risk is. You know, we may think one thing one day, and then a week later you learn other things about the level of risk. So he might want to keep studying before, you know, you make your decision. But the answer is not going to be that there's no risk. We know
right.
that.
You know, and I think, look, there's, you know, Malcolm has been very outspoken, you know, when Drew, on other things than just, you know, coronavirus. You know, he has
been a very vocal and active player in trying to make change. I mean, it goes back years with him. He's been involved in a lot of things going back a long time. So, you know, he is a guy that has got a lot of layers and substance to him. So it's interesting that he came out and said that. Just what we're seeing here, we know there's no risk of, you know, let's say this too. What is risk? Risk getting it, or risk of really having an adverse effect from it, right? Or the next level would be there's a risk that you get it. You should be fine, but you could be putting other vulnerable people at risk. That's really the cascade effect that is the toughest thing to deal with.
Yeah, he says he doesn't feel comfortable playing in the league until the coronavirus is eliminated. Well, one, it's not going to be eliminated. It's a virus. Even with the vaccine, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be eliminated. It's not going to go away. It's a strand. You know, it's just like when we get the flu shot. It's the same thing. They're trying to predict strands, right? That's what a flu shot is. It's not going away. The vaccine is just like getting your flu shot. So I'm not sure what he means by that. Until the coronavirus goes away, it's not going away. So I guess what I was getting at in leading up to this is maybe he's just got a lot of stuff going on, and that's fine. Maybe if he wants to continue to be outspoken on social issues and you know, do things more on that front, that's perfectly fine. While questioning whether it's safe for him to come back, that's okay. But, you know, waiting for the coronavirus to go away, or, you know, looking for zero risk to play, like your season's over before it even starts, like Malcolm Jenkins. Like, you're not playing for the Saints this year. So you're going to have to change your stance, or you just need to go on and inform your teammates and the organization you will not be playing, suiting up and playing this year, because that's not going to happen. It doesn't even make any sense to throw that out there, because there is no such thing as anything that he has brought to the table. So, and that's fine. Like I said, that is okay. But if he's looking for those things to happen, he won't be playing this year. And we're going to get into some of that with Jim Wyatt. You know, they canceled the Hall of Fame game, the Steelers and the Cowboys. It first came out that there was going to be no fans, and then the next day it was, there's not going to be any game. There's not going to be any weekend, no enshrinement, none of that. The whole weekend has been canceled. And I guess we need to, like, what's your gut feeling as we sit here right now? How many preseason games do you really think the league is going to play? Which, by the way, is coming up on, we're about ready to wrap up June. Next week is July.
Yeah, they've had a lot of time to assess this, but, you know, right now, in the next few weeks, are going to be really, really critical weeks to follow. For example, I'm just looking at this. The Texas governor has just ordered, they're going backwards in Texas. They've had to pull back. They were one of the first to open up. They've ordered bars to be closed except for takeout, restaurants to operate at 50% capacity. So they've made a change there. So there's a couple teams in Texas. The football and the baseball have got the toughest road because they're not going to be in the bubble.
Right. That's correct.
And it's going to be really hard with the number of players in their league to think that they're all going to, you know, take the extreme measures that you probably have to take to avoid bringing it into your team.
Do we know, Willie, like, people that they're going to be in, there has to be workers involved, right, for the hub cities. Let's
in the
just
bubble?
Keep, yeah, let's keep this on the NHL
absolutely.
Front real quick, because I know we got to go to Jim. But on the NHL side of things, when they announced the two hubs, let's say it's, for sake of this discussion, Vegas and Toronto. So they have to have people, you know, that they have to eat, and so there has to be, you know, hotels. So there has to be workers involved. Are they contained in the bubble, or do they come and go? How is that working with the workers?
I believe they're in the bubble. I believe
so. They are there. So you sign up, you are there until this thing is over?
I think so.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. So that truly is a bubble. I mean, they.
I think you can leave, but you can't come back in.
Oh.
And I said that's well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the. There's got to be situations where if there's an emergency, a worker's got to get out of there. They can, but I would imagine there's got to be a really interesting process of bringing somebody else new into the bubble. But I think the idea is once you're in, you stay in.
So this is a little bit like Hotel California, a little bit, right?
Well, it doesn't make any sense that you would have all the players being there and then all the workers coming and going. That
right,
that doesn't
right.
That lowers the risk. I mean, that lowers, what should I say? That raises the risk. Right, it that just means that there's more of a chance that somebody's going to bring it in from the outside, and if that happens, you're screwed.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So,
well, not never.
Okay, so it's not like Hotel California.
Once the cup is awarded,
example,
then you can leave.
So it's not like Hotel California. All right, my bad. All right, I was just curious because that I was interested in how that dynamic was going to work. With the NBA, MLS, and the NHL, we keep calling it the bubble, but until everybody is in that, it's not really a bubble. I mean, it's one thing for teams, but what about all the other people that have to be involved in the process? So interesting. All right, we will come back. Jim Wyatt will join us. He covers the Titans, TennesseeTitans.com. We will talk to him on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Next up, Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. 1 year ago today, what happened? 1 year ago today, back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Jim, can you answer that question?
I suspect that was Vanderbilt winning the College World Series against Michigan and Omaha and Nebraska. Am I right on that?
You suspect correct, sir. Yes. The final out was recorded. Do you remember? What was the final out?
The final out was a fly out to center field, if I'm not mistaken. And the reason I remember that, I mean, obviously that was a great day in Vanderbilt sports history. The reason I remember it so well is, you know, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, June the 27th, and we had just gotten off of a family trip to Boston and up into Maine on, you know, the Sunday before that started, which was on Monday, and I had always said if Vanderbilt made it out there again and was in the finals championship series, I was going to go. And I told my wife I was not going to miss her birthday. She wouldn't want me to tell her her age, but it was a big birthday last year. And I told her, you know, I'm going to drive to Omaha. I'll be back for your birthday on the 27th. I was hoping Vanderbilt would win it, you know, in two games and would be back here with no problem. So Vanderbilt obviously lost the first game, and at that point I knew it was going to have to go to game three. So I was in the stands for that game and for that last out that you're talking to this time last year. And I had to get back to Nashville the very next day. So I went to the game. Got back in my hotel room probably about 12:30 in the morning, and after relishing in the victory, and then probably slept for an hour, got in my car in Omaha, Nebraska about 2 a.m. and drove straight back to Nashville, and was back here by probably 1 o'clock the next day, where I could on the 27th to celebrate her birthday with her. So it was wow. a whirlwind travel for me, but I was able to go to the game, enjoy it, and not upset the wife from missing her birthday, because wow. I was back here for most of it.
What was the point of the hour-long nap? To me, that would be almost work against you.
Yeah, I know. I thought about doing it. You know, I thought about trying to just drive right on through, but I felt like, you know, I got to at least get some kind of a nap or get some kind of sleep. And I have to say, I felt great. I mean, I got in the car and I was through Kansas City. It was still dark. I was pulling into St. Louis and the sun was just coming up, and I got some big time brownie points for the effort on that. So I got the best of both worlds. I went to the game, got to experience that. And then my wife saw, you know, she knew I'd made such a great effort to get to Omaha, Nebraska, that I had to make the same effort to get back to Nashville for her birthday, and I did it. And it was, I sometimes look at my pictures. It's funny you mention that, because I was strolling through my pictures on my camera roll last night, or a couple of nights ago, and I had a picture of Omaha, Nebraska, on June the 26th, and it was taken right after they'd won, and it was like 10:55 p.m. And then, you know, the very next night, I was, you know, in Nashville at a birthday dinner with my wife and my family. It was probably around 5 o'clock, and I was thinking that was a crazy 24 hours.
Wow. Well, the reason I asked that is because our anniversary is June 28th. You guys both know that. You were at the wedding and the reception, and if you remember, the reception was in Bridgestone Arena, and I had the great idea to leave for the honeymoon first thing in the morning. Like, we had a 6 a.m. flight. And I was like, this is great. We were going to Puerto Vallarta. And you know what? We don't need to sleep. We'll just stay up. That'll be good. There's no reason. And then after it was all over, we get home, you know, very, very late. And I was like, we need like an hour to nap. And that was the worst thing ever, laying down for an hour or two to get up to go to the airport. And that's the reason that I thought of that, because I was like, you know what, but we just couldn't say, we were so exhausted. But I was like, I think a 1 or 2 hour nap would do us a world of good, and it for me, it did not. It was the worst thing I could have done. That's the reason I asked. And then we had to go travel all the way to Mexico, you know. So, well, that's cool. Very, very neat. We're gonna get into some Titan stuff here in just a minute. I wanted to ask you, what is your gut feeling right now on preseason games? How do you think the league, the Hall of Fame game, Hall of Fame weekend, has now been officially canceled? What do you think we're looking at for preseason?
Well, I have to say, when I saw that yesterday, of course, you hate to see any sporting event canceled, and because it kind of gives you fear about, you know, this obviously this pandemic and the virus is not going away. I think a lot of people felt like, you know, in March, April, May, you looked ahead that, hey, give us a couple of months and things will be settled down by, you know, by the time football season gets here. And that's obviously not the case. And the numbers are going down. The trends are not looking good. I saw that yesterday morning that the Hall of Fame game had been canceled. Those events were canceled. And I will say that I wasn't shocked at all. And I don't look at it as, okay, here we go. You know, this is just the start of a bunch of cancellations. There's been so much talk about the preseason getting knocked down to two games. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the way that you try to get to the start of the regular season is by being careful throughout the preseason. And you know, when you can control things a lot better when you're inside your own stadium, when you have some plans. And, you know, if you're talking about the, you know, the Hall of Fame weekend, that's, you know, that's obviously not too far from now. It's a lot maybe tougher to structure what you want to do. You know, obviously with the ceremony as well, you're drawing a lot of people close together. So that's obviously not what what it's going to look like even come fall. So, I think, you know, me, just based on what I've read and what makes sense, I think having two preseason games, you know, certainly makes sense. One game at home, one on the road. You know, whether or not those are played in front of fans, I guess that remains to be seen. But I still, you know, have hope and optimism that there's, you know, there's going to be games in September, and there's and the potential in a lot of cities there will be fans. I mean, and this is not going to be the same, I think, across the NFL. And I think you're going to have some games that have fans attending, and I think probably some games in certain parts of the country you might not have fans. But preseason game, you know, two preseason games, I think, is the way it ultimately will land. But that's just speculation on my part.
I feel the same way as you. That's my gut. My gut is it's going to be cut in half, and it's going to be two preseason games. And my guess is they'll probably go through it. It's a subject that's been out there, as you know, forever. And they'll be like, okay, we were just fine with two preseason games. We'll survive, and they'll probably just move forward with that, you know, from the, just afterwards. I mean, even when this is all done, I think that's probably the route they'll go. But I'm with you. I think they probably play two preseason games, and that's it. The Titans added – go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll say, it's unfortunate. I think you can make it through with two preseason games. It's unfortunate for some of these guys that are battling for roster spots. I think what you miss is two, you know, joint practices with other teams, because I think that would have been exciting. I think that's where you get your most work done. I think from everything I've heard that, you know, the Titans were going to go down to Tampa and practice against the Buccaneers, you know, leading up to that preseason game, which, you know, when the schedule first came out and before this pandemic really took the nation, you know, a hold that, you know, if you're thinking, you know, you have a chance to go down there and practice against Brady, and it turns out Gronkowski and Keyshawn Vaughn would have been down there, and that receiving core, I mean, that would have been a heck of a lot of fun and would have been a great week to get better. But, you know, that's not going to happen. The team is going to try to practice against somebody here in Nashville. That's obviously not going to happen. So you're going to miss not only games, but an opportunity with those joint practices to really take a big step. And so teams are really going to be challenged now to get ready for the year without that, and not really knowing how practices are going to look yet.
Yeah. Adolfo Birch, Surf Melendez, Dan Worley, three new hires into the front office of the Titans. And Adolfo Birch, I'm really glad the Titans hired him, just so I could see a picture of you on Twitter. How old were you in that picture at Father Ryan?
Yeah, that's what everybody asked me. When that picture, surely that picture had to have been taken in my seventh, you know, when I was in the seventh grade. But that was actually my senior picture. That was taken, you know, after my junior year, leading into my senior year. I looked like I was probably in the seventh or eighth grade. I was probably standing about 5'4", weighing about 110, 150
really?
Pounds at that
wow.
time. Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. I had my big growth spurt. I probably grew 5 inches my senior year in high school and then grew another 4 or 5 inches my first year in college. So, yeah, I was 5'4", 110, 115 at that time. And I posted that picture of both of us look like babies. You know?
Yes.
And I'm sure I was telling
it's awesome.
People that people – I kid my, you know, my nephews, they don't buy it. They see that senior picture, and I tell them I was a kid that used to steal everybody's lunch money, and the kids were afraid – other students were afraid to see me coming down the hall. I was like the class bully, but everybody knows that's not yeah. true looking like I did in that picture.
Especially with the bow tie. Yeah, you're not going to get anybody's lunch money with the bow tie. I had you pegged for like 15. Honestly, I thought you were about 15 years old. I would have never said senior.
I'd have been happy to look like – have been considered 15 because I look like a baby, and I got carded up until the time I was probably 30 years old.
So did you know Adolfo Birch? Do you remember him? Did you guys hang out? Were you friends? Or
well, he was in the calculus and was in the classes that I was not. We were in different classes, I'll say that. He was in the advanced courses trying to get ready to go to Vanderbilt and Harvard, and I was just trying to get by. So, but oh yeah, I definitely knew him. I mean, he's always had a great personality, was kind of a cut up, but was still extremely smart. I was looking through our yearbook last night when I was trying to find those pictures, and he's obviously the valedictorian and accomplished in a lot of these clubs. And I just can say I graduated, and my claim to fame is to him. His father was a wonderful father. You know, A.A. Birch, the courthouse is named after him in Nashville, and it's a courthouse where my father worked for so many years. My father and his father were friends, both criminal court judges in the courthouse downtown. So I see Adolfo at a lot of events and always tell that story about him being the first in class, and I was near the bottom of the class, and now I think it's neat that he's with the organization and will do great things. He's a really smart guy, but really a good guy, and his father's a very special man as well.
Well, what does the organization have in these three hires? Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah, I mean, Adolfo has worked with the league for 24 years in a lot of different areas. And, you know, with us, I think his title is Senior VP Business Affairs Chief Legal Officer. His hands will be in a lot of things. I mean, with the reshuffling, when Burke Nihil moving up to his role, I followed the replacement of Steve Underwood. I think Adolfo will come in and handle a lot of work that had been done by both of those gentlemen over the last, Steve for so many years, and Burke, obviously, before he worked his way up. So he'll do a lot of things behind the scenes, and really smart guy who I think is a great hire. I mean, I think when that story was tweeted out yesterday, just to see the national writers, whether it's, Ian Rappaport, I don't know if Adam Schefter chimed in, but Tom Pelissero, people from across that cover the league, Judy Batista, I think, noticed it from New York and NFL Network. I mean, he's a name that people are very familiar with in league circles just because he's been involved in so many things from a league standpoint. So he was a great hire. Bring him back to Nashville. Then Surf Melendez has taken over as creative director. He was formerly with the Miami Dolphins, has great vision, heard really good things about him. Haven't had a chance to meet him yet. And Dan Worley, who's been hired as general counsel, that was formerly with Nashville SC in that same capacity. Another Vanderbilt guy. I mean, all three of these come with great, great reputation and heard so many good things about them. And now looking forward to the day when everybody can be back in the building and working together.
Jim White is with us, TennesseeTitans.com. So Jim, in a broad perspective here, how long have they been working on this sort of reshuffling or I don't know what you want to call it, sort of reshaping the front office? It's exciting that you have these new personalities in there, and you've got some people, I guess Adolfo Birch has great roots to Nashville, but to bring him in from the league, you know, some outside perspective. You know, so you have a blend of people that have come up through the organization and some people with some outside perspective.
Yeah, and I think Adolfo's name was kind of in the hat maybe when Steve Underwood had retired previously. And so his name, and because of his ties to Nashville and because of his expertise, I think he's a guy that had been on the team's radar for a while. And you know, when Steve Underwood decided to retire, and I don't think news came out maybe until March, but I think he had made Amy Adams Strunk aware that that was going to happen. And I think at that point is when you start thinking about your options. And Burke Nihil to be promoted to his spot, you know, kind of opened the door for some more movement, you know, especially general counsel and especially with the position that Adolfo Birch is now under. But, you know, Burke knows Adolfo well from their time in the league. I know I talked to him about Adolfo, you know, over the past couple of years, not about the spot with the team, just about, you know, how we had to kind of share the same relationship. So there was, you know, I'm sure there was communication there. There was some interest there when that job came open. And then Dan, you know, being from here in town and having a spot open, you know, made that kind of an attractive match as well. So I think things just kind of fell together. I mean, I think, you know, it continues to show just the strength of Amy Adams Strunk and other people in the organization who can lure people away, whether it's from the NFL or from National SC. I feel great, you know, being a member of the organization to bring in three quality guys. And, you know, look around, you know, the building now and see some of the people in the big positions. And it's you know, it's very impressive.
I'm curious, Jim, and you may not have a great feel. It may just have to work itself out. But, you know, we see the titles, but I think from a visibility perspective, we're all curious to know who's going to be sort of the out front person. Will we see that? It's been more of a behind-the-scenes role. We know Steve Underwood was more, you know, beneath the surface. He wasn't out and about a whole lot. Do you think between these couple of new hires – that you'll have somebody maybe more in the public eye?
I think so, but I do think Steve, I mean, I know when Steve retired and Burke took over, that's one of the things I talked to Butch Spearden about, just about dealing with both of them. And then while they've got some things are similar, you know, in how they handle themselves, they do a lot of things the same way. I think Burke will be visible and be out there when it calls for it, but he is one of these guys that kind of likes to work behind the scenes. And, you know, and John Robinson, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, will be the voices, I think, on a more regular basis. But Burke is going to be in the community. He's going to do a lot of things, you know, with the city. You know, he's always been involved in some of these big events, even though his, you know, his name wasn't out there as much as it will be. He was continuing to work, whether it was with the draft or with you know, 4th of July events here or watch parties or anything that really involved the city and the team. Burke was involved in that. So I think that will continue to be the case. And I think there will be obviously a lot of situations where he will be visible when he feels it's needed.
Jim, I want to ask you about one more thing. I think all of us who can go back a ways remember Josh Evans, you know, flamboyant personality, had some big moments as a role player on those excellent Titans, first Titans teams, pretty much. You caught up with him recently. I know he's had some struggles with cancer here. Tell us about what it was like to reconnect with him.
Yeah, it's really good that you have memories of being, you know, around a lot of guys over the years. And I remember, you know, Josh, obviously from the first year I started covering the team in 99 and did have one of those big personalities, was a easy guy to root for. He had some struggles, obviously as a player, you know, cause he was suspended a couple of times and it didn't always have the smoothest path. And that's one of the things I talked to him about. He is fighting cancer. He started chemotherapy yesterday, starting radiation today. I was just texting him this morning and, he's in a hospital, you know, down outside of Atlanta, you know, with another round of cancer. He had surgery earlier this year, and then it had come back. He's asking for prayers. People that that remember him and have reached out to him have really helped buoy his spirits here in the last several weeks and months as he fights this. But he was a big personality. Still is a big personality. Just talking to him and hearing him laugh, and he's extremely weak. He's lost a lot of weight. He was about 295, 299 when he played. He's down to about 185, 189. Now he lost 100 pounds. And, he knows he's in the fight of his life, and he looks back at his career. He's kind of listening to him talk. I mean, he had some really good moments, but he has let himself, unfortunately, kind of dwell on some of the things that he – wish he wouldn't have done. And he beat himself up for so many years, just because of that, feeling like he'd let people, the organization down, his teammates down, his coaches down, just because of the suspensions. But I think as time has passed and he's gone through some counseling and the place he is, where he is in his life, the three kids who are really accomplished, I think he has finally found peace. And then unfortunately now he's dealing with the cancer. So, hopefully he can continue to fight through this. He has so many great memories of his days with the Titans. It's called it the time of his life. And, at 47 years old, hopefully he's got a lot of life left to live, and he'll be able to bounce back and recover from this.
Mm. Last thing, we put this out there earlier in the week, and I just want to get are you surprised, your opinion on it or not? Because it surprised us. There was a sports book out there that had the Titans on. There was a list of six teams in odds on them trading for Jamal Adams, and the Titans were one of them, surprisingly enough. And that kind of took us by surprise. It'd be one thing if there was a number on Clowney or what have you, but to see something on Jamal Adams, what does that surprise you, that the Titans would be on a list of six teams having odds to possibly trade for his services?
Well, I guess, nothing surprised me when it comes to speculation, because if you remember back in the Tom Brady, all that speculation was going on, he was number one on the list of players who would join the Titans or where he would end up. So, and I don't think there was really a lot to that. I think that was media-driven and kind of took on a life of its own. With Jamal Adams, I mean, it doesn't – you look at what the Titans are with Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro and obviously drafting Amani Hooker and having Dane Cruikshank. I mean, at the safety position, the team has some good players and some depth. So from a personnel standpoint and from where the team is now, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. With that said, I mean, this guy's a tremendous player.
Sure.
And I remember him coming out of school, and I know how much the team liked him back then. So,
there's a lot to like, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. So, I mean, he would clearly make the team better, and you could shuffle some things around, but I would just be surprised if the compensation or fit would be there better than it would be for other teams who probably need him more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not that, surprised that, somebody would be interested in him. He's a tremendous talent. It's just, as you laid out, it's, you can always, you always say, well, it's not a position of need. Well, you can always upgrade, right? You can always get better, but it's not like you're looking around going, wow, who is going to play this position? So they have people in place. And so, therefore, we're also talking about a trade, which means you would have to give up something, and he's going to get paid. So it would be a huge investment for the team, and I think that's why I was surprised. That's a lot to overcome for a position that, I don't want to say you couldn't use a Jamal Adams, but there's you'd have to give up a lot to get him.
Yeah, and somebody will do it. I mean, because he's a heck
sure.
of a player, and certainly he's kind of a game changer on defense. But, when I look at this team's priorities, maybe as we still, have some time before the season starts, obviously getting Derrick Henry to long-term deals, one of them. Clowney would be nice. I think you could still, depending on what happens, you know, in some of these position battles. I mean, it's not going to surprise me if you know, there's a couple other positions that still could have some additions. But when I look at the roster, I don't look at safety and say, this needs to be addressed right now. And yep. So that's why I don't put a whole lot into it.
Well, go enjoy the birthday, you know? I don't know what
we'll
the birthday plans are, but go have fun.
Yeah, it'll be probably a little more low-key this year. It's not as
You'll be well-rested, though,
yeah,
compared to last year.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for the visit, as always. Continue to be safe. Have a great weekend. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you guys, too. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and close up shop for hour number one. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5, the game. Willie will approve this for sure.
This is a good one. The old duet.
That's tough.
It's like seventh grade for me right there.
This was cassette all the way. All the way. Appreciate Jim Wyatt for joining us, Tennessee Titans. .com. Nick Suss will join us to start the second hour from the Clarion Ledger. We'll also catch up with Predators play-by-play voice Pete Weber. So those are some things on tap in the second hour. You just made the list at high noon and a little Friday trivia in the final hour. We talked about the whole Jamal Adams thing. And so just wanted to get his take on it because I think we were a little surprised to see the Titans on the list, but tick-tock on Derrick Henry. No surprise there. We've certainly talked about that subject. And quite honestly, credit to Derrick Henry because this subject would be if you were tired of us talking about Tom Brady. I mean, think about how much we would have talked about Derrick Henry if he hadn't signed anything. And July 15th was, you know, going to be a really critical date. But because he signed that, I mean, you know, there's really no drama other than for him, it's whether he gets a deal that he's looking for or he's going to play for, you know, just over $10 million this season, and they'll have to figure it out next year. But I do wonder, as we get close to wrapping up this month, where that is. You've got the whole Clowney thing looming, and I don't know, it's going to be very interesting. And as we talked about with Jim, the preseason, I agree with him. I think it's going to probably be cut down to two. And what a shame. I mean, yes, it would have been down in Tampa. It would have been a lot more cool if it was here, like New England when they came here last year, but because of the circumstances. But how, you know, that would have been neat to see them down in Tampa practicing with the Bucs. But I think it's going to be two preseason
games. Oh,
yeah,
definitely. We had a great time. Yeah, I think you're right. And I would assume that it's going to be about as basic as you can make it and still feel like you can prepare your team. As Jim said, the less you move around from place to place, the better off you're going to be. That, you know, you want to make sure you get the season started. It's going to be hard enough when you do have to travel teams from city to city to play these games. So I think there's no way you should play more than two. I think two would be adequate. It will be interesting how that affects how you're trying to evaluate that last portion of your roster, the players that are trying to earn a spot.
Yep.
And so if you only have two games, how much do you play your starters in those two games?
That is a really good question. Yeah, how much? Because, remember, this offseason has not been the normal offseason. So, you know, you could probably use your starters – talking, especially, you'll think about teams that have brand new coordinators. You know, well, I mean, the Titans. There's no Dean Pease. So they may have to work through some things, right, on the defensive side of the ball. If Dean Pease was back and, you know, you had this, Arthur Smith, you had the same coordinators, okay, you're familiar with them. You were nothing different on that front. But teams that have different, you know, new coaches, new coordinators, and they haven't had their, you know, their normal offseason, I would say that they'd probably be leaning toward they need more work than not work, right? But then there's that fine balance.
I think that'll be a dilemma.
Right, of you don't want to lose people and get people hurt in preseason games. So, boy, that's going to be a tricky dynamic. Glad we don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah, but it'll in theory, it'll be the same for everybody. So, you know, you just have to adapt. You have to make it work. The other thing I was thinking about as you were kicking all these issues around that are still lingering for the Titans, there's no way in my thought, I would be really surprised. You tell me if you disagree that until after July 4th and that whole holiday, I cannot imagine there's a whole lot going on with any of the negotiations, right? Leading up to July 15th, I think that week after July 4th up to the deadline, that's when you're going to see maybe an effort made to sign Henry. Don't you think? I mean, unless they have come a lot closer than I think they have of striking a deal, then I think only that deadline is going to push it.
I think it's pretty safe to say that nothing's going to happen next week. I think that's – and so you're talking about after next weekend. That Monday would be, what, the 6th? So, you know, tick-tock.
I think here, starting the 6th.
Yeah.
That's about the time frame. I think that's when you start getting to, okay, are we going to do a deal? Because there's no – there's not the absolute urgency because he signed the tender. So it's either you get it done by the 15th or he plays under the one-year deal. The question is, how much do you want to get a deal done so you have certainty there so that you can address the rest of your roster knowing what Derrick Henry's going to cost you? That's the advantage for the Titans to try to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jamal Adams, Greg Williams was on with Chase and Floyd yesterday. Jets defensive.
Did he say something about Jamal Adams?
I don't know. I was trying to pull up the clips and I can't get it to download. Was there anything on Jamal Adams, Marquise?
Not on this, but I will find a clip for you.
No big deal. I just was curious.
Chase, well, Greg Williams is always fun to listen to. There's no question.
He was really impressed with the interview, and I said, "Well, that's Greg Williams. I mean, he's always been great in that scenario, right? In that situation, doing interviews. But it'd be very interesting to see where this goes. I wonder when they're going to make an announcement on preseasons with them canceling the Hall of Fame weekend. I mean, as you said, the following weekend is going to be July 4th, but next week in the middle of the week is going to be July. So, you know, we know training camps are supposed to get cranked up by the end of July, and so you have to believe that the league is going to come out with something here pretty soon on what their intentions are, whether it's going to be business as usual, or if indeed they're going to be shaving down some preseason games and, you know, what is going to be their approach to training camp / preseason. I'd have to believe that those decisions are coming here very, very soon. Just like the hub cities.
Well,
I feel like the more they keep eliminating, right, we're about to find something out here soon.
Well, the other thing that we have to see, you know, whether you actually play the games or not in terms of the preseason, it's just the daily practice. And can a team function practicing every day without having any kind of outbreak? That's what everybody's fingers are crossed on, right? Because even if you eliminate the two games, that eliminates the travel and the hotels and things like that. And that's smart, I think. That minimizes some risk. But that daily grind of what you need to do to prepare for the season is going to be the bigger issue, I think. So to me, that's going to be a big challenge. So why not eliminate what you know, you think you can get by without playing four preseason games?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would be out of the realm to play no preseason games under the circumstances, but especially if you're not really prepared to let fans into the stands at that point anyway. You know, is that a thought? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. If you're planning on playing the season, then I don't know why you'd hold back on, you know, any preseason games. Like, you have to give them some type of tune-up, right? I mean, it seems pretty clear. Obviously, things can change. We have learned through all this, things are always fluid when it comes to a pandemic. But it seems like they have every intentions of playing this upcoming NFL season. So if you have every intentions of playing this upcoming NFL season, then I don't know why you would have zero preseason games. That seemed like that could make week one in the NFL pretty darn sloppy, you would think. Sloppy and scary, right? Sloppy and scary on, injuries and everything else. So, by the way, Roberto Duran,
well, I'll tell you,
I just saw this. Did you see where he tested positive?
I did.
But, all right, we will come back. Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger. I don't know if people have been following things in the state of Mississippi, but we're going to talk to Nick about everything. And these coaches, Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach, the basketball coaches, Ben Hallen, Kermit Davis, all lobbying to get the state flag changed. We talked to Peter Burns earlier this week about his conversation with Greg Sankey. We know the SEC has told them you will not host anything under the current conditions of what your state flag is. You're going to need to change your flag or they will not be able to host events for the conference. So, interesting. So we're going to talk to Nick about all that on the other side to start hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.